Please turn your Bibles this morning to the little letter 2 John. 2 John, way over in the New Testament, close to Jude and Revelation. 2 John. This morning we're looking at a faithful elder. In keeping with Senior Adult Sunday and honoring our senior adults, 2 John. Going to look at the whole letter this morning, but we will read one verse at the beginning. 2 John. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Verse 2, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we do thank you again for the faithfulness of the senior adults in our church. Lord, that has been so faithful. And it's so evident, Lord, looking over the years at the life of this church and those who, through struggles, through the hard times and the good times and not following after the latest fad or running over here or running over there for the latest thing, but they have remained faithful because the love of you, the love of the church. So God, may we take note and may we too, Lord, be faithful until you come back. So Lord, help us to look in your word this morning. Lord, may you speak to us through your word. Lord, use me as a tool, please. And may it be for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. The elder. The Apostle John, who wrote this letter, most scholars say that he was in his 90s. The Apostle John, who was the beloved disciple, now the Apostle, who was there, who was a fisherman and was there during the earthly ministry of Jesus, now in his 90s, writing to the church and being an elder. He announces himself in this letter as an elder. And I'm going to step down again this morning. Many of you spoke about that last Sunday, so I'm going to get here amongst you. I'm not an elder like the Apostle John, but the elder loved the church and wanted to be with the church, and he announced himself as the elder. See, I can see what you're doing now. How you like that? Don't bother you, good. The elder. To be an elder in the church, the elder here, again, he was one that was a leader in the church. And many times we call leaders in the church, young or old, Scripture calls them the elder of a church or the elders of the church. So they are leaders in the church. Also, to be an elder is one that was, like the Apostle John, one that was an apostle, which he called himself an elder. And also, being an elder is one who has age on them. And we have elders among us, and they have age, and we show them great respect because of their faithfulness and the love that they have for us. Did you know the elders in this church love you? They love you. They look to you as the young adults and to the children of our church. They look to you as loving grandparents love their children and their grandchildren. So as a church family, the elders of this church love you. So we love them and show them great respect. So the Apostle John says that the elder, and also we see that the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. So this elder, he loves the people in truth. In truth, to the elect lady. This word elect means chosen. The pastor that Alicia and I had in Alaska, Brother Johnny McCoy, who he's came here and preached revivals, he called the church that he pastors, First Baptist North Pole, Alaska, the Frozen Chosen. That was our name. And this word elect means chosen or to be called out. And we get the root word of elect, it also is part of the word used for church, ecclesia, which means the called out ones or the chosen ones. And that is the born again believers. You've been called out unto God. Jesus has called you, and you believe in Jesus. You've answered His call, and you follow Jesus. So you are the elect of God, the church. And the elder is writing to the church, and he says, to them I love in the truth. And this word truth here in context means something that it is so evident. Matter of fact, as he wrote in the Gospel of John in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that the truth was manifested to them and to us. It is something that is so sure and so evident that it is actually something you can see. So he loves them in the truth. He loves them in the truth and the way and the life, which is in Jesus Christ. So he loved the church in Christ Jesus, the love that Christ had for the church and gave himself for the church. So he loved them in the truth, and not only the elder, but he says in all of those who love the truth. He says again, all those which abides in us and will be with us forever, and all those who have known the truth. So he's saying not only me, the elder, loves the church, but everyone who loves the truth of God loves the elect lady. And the elect lady is the church. So if you confess that you love the truth of God and you love the truth, Jesus Christ, you will also love the elect lady. Amen? The church. And this elder, he loved the church and he loved all of those in the truth and abides in the truth. And the truth, the Lord Jesus abides in them and His Word abides in them. He loved the church. Brother Wiley sent me an email about someone who loved the church, and there was an article in a newspaper, and the editor wrote, "Is it important to go to church?" And someone wrote in, and to the editor's delight, this went on for weeks. And the person that wrote in said, "I believe it's a waste of time. I've sat under lots of sermons in church, and you know what? I don't remember any of it. So I believe it's a waste of time to come to church, to hear all those sermons, and I could be doing other things." And this went on for weeks, and then finally a clincher wrote in. Someone who wrote in, and it stopped it all. You know what he wrote? He said, "I've been married for 30 years, and my wife has cooked me thousands of delicious meals. But to the life of me, over those 30 years, I cannot recall in detail everything we ate every meal. But I guarantee you it was not a waste of time, because if I did not eat those meals, I would have been long dead. I would have already starved to death. And he related that to coming to church and to worship and to hearing sermons and being in Bible study, that all those years of attending church and worship of Lord Jesus Christ, that if he didn't eat that fresh manna that is ruined tomorrow, if he didn't come and eat that manna, that he would have already spiritually dried up. And it finished it. It finished it. And I read that and thought of all the meals that Alicia has cooked. We've been married 27 years. I was 10 years old. That's why I look so young. Sarcastically speaking. But all those meals, and I don't know everything she cooked, but I do know my favorite that she would cook me. And back when I weighed 220 pounds, she cooked biscuits, she would fry deer meat and make gravy with that, and I would eat that over those biscuits with ketchup. That's still my favorite meal, by the way. But I can't eat that all the time. But I know that she has cooked me that, because that's my favorite. And the other things that we had with that, I don't really recall, but I do know she's cooked my favorite meal. And you know what? When we come to church and to worship, and we love the church, we have favorite things that we like. We sung hymns this morning. I love the old Rugged Cross. I grew up singing that in the country church that I grew up in. We sung some praise songs. And some of you love the praise songs. I like it all, though. But I do have some favorite things. I have favorite sermons that I love to preach. I have favorite things, but when it's all said and done, it's all worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is all important for you and I to attend and to love the church, that the Apostle John and all those who love the truth and abide the truth, to love the church just like they love it. Just like they love it. So the elder loves the church, and it's so evident that our elders loved the church through the years and have remained faithful to it. And as we read on, he says, verse 3, that grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So the elder blessed the church. He asked God to bless them with this peace and grace and mercy. And by the way, unless you are abiding in Jesus Christ, you do not know what peace and mercy and grace is all about. You may think you may know by what the world's definition, but unless you have a sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ and sweet relationship with Him, you do not know what the Apostle John is meaning here in this verse when he mentions grace, mercy, and peace with you. And this elder asked God to bless the church. And the elders among us, they pray for us, the church. They ask God's blessings on the church. And by the way, if the elders among us, if they did not give from the heart to the church, would the church survive? If the young adults, if all we could rely on is what you give from the heart, could we survive? And they have been so faithful, not only in their attendance, but in their serving and their giving to the church. Why? Because they love the church. It's so important to them. And he asked blessings on them, the elder did. And he says, by the way, when we speak of the church, the elect, the chosen, some churches are messing up, and I'll tell you how. They have a young people service, worship, middle-age service, and then they call it a traditional service. Now, if you have lots of people and you need to have more than one service, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great to have that problem here? But we don't need two or three separate churches in one church. Why? Because the church, we're one body and we serve one Lord. And the old people are so important and the young people are very important and we're one church. We need each other, don't we? We need each other. We need the wisdom of the older and we need the youthfulness of the young to make up a vibrant church. And he asked blessings on them. In verse 4, we see that the elder encouraged the church. He says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. And it's encouraging to me to see how God is working in your lives and how God is touching your hearts and lives and you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know what? The elders in our church, they love to see how God is working in your lives. And he rejoiced. It was rejoicing in his heart. And he also says, as we receive commandment from the Father, verse 5, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So he encouraged the church to do what? Love one another. Love one another. Have kindness towards one another. Be compassionate toward one another. Don't be self-centered, but prefer the other more than yourself. Amen? Right now, the church in America, the great generation is passing away. They're going on to be with the Lord and that generation right after them. Now we're confronted with the me generation that's coming into eldership and leaders of the church. The me self-centered generation. Some call it the hippie generation. And that's not everybody I know. But the me generation, it's all about me. And what do I get out of it? And it's affected their children, and they have grandchildren now. And it has affected down the line. And that generation that gave selflessly and was so committed and faithful that walked to church, some of them even rode horses when they were younger to come to church, and they were faithful so much to the serving of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the me generation, when I don't have nothing else to do, I may come to church because it's all about me, you see. But he encouraged the church to love one another. And when you love one another, what do you got to do? You got to quit loving yourself more and you start loving other people. So he encouraged them to love. And he says, it's a commandment to love one another. It was in the Old Testament, and it's in the New Covenant also. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So he encouraged them to be in the truth, to walk in the truth, and to walk in love. And now he's fixing to, as an elder, contend for the faith. He's fixing to contend for the doctrine of Christ. You see, an elder knows that doctrine is important in the church. Because if you do not have doctrine, anything goes in, right? And we as a New Testament blood-bought church, we abide in in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is the teachings of Christ and believing in Christ, the things of Christ Jesus, that He lived among us without sin. He died on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven and that we can be in His righteousness. And He was buried and He rose again and He ascended up and He's coming back. The doctrine of Christ and His Word. And He's fixing to contend. And listen to what He says in verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Listen. He says, those things we work for, those things we contended for. Wouldn't it be a shame that over 100 years this church has been so faithful to the doctrine of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a slap in the face if the leadership and the elders of the church started believing other doctrines other than the doctrine of Jesus Christ? Don't you tell me that Jesus and Satan are brothers and say that's Christian. Don't you tell me that unless you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood He shed on the cross, and believe and repent of your sins and confess Jesus, that you can be saved some other way. If that's the truth, let's pack up and go home. If Jesus is not the only way, let's stop it right now. Wouldn't it be a shame that for politics or for friendships or some other thing that we say you're okay without Jesus Christ? Listen what the elder in the church says about it. He says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have who? Does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Granted, the church met in homes. The early church met in homes. Don't receive someone and don't bless them. Listen, it says in verse 11, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So, for you to say to anyone, you're okay with God apart from Jesus Christ, you have taken in this evil deed. Some of you don't like it. Again, when you exalt Jesus Christ, the devil don't like it and humanism doesn't like it. The devil wants to be worshipped and man wants to be exalted. But when you say you must receive Jesus for forgiveness of sins because you're dead in trespasses and sins apart from Him, don't like it. It's offensive. But an elder would stand up and say, preach it, brother. You're right, brother. They wouldn't cross their arms and say, I dare you. They would say, go on, brother. Because I love the truth. And I love the people in the truth. Verse 12, we see the elder wanted to be present with the people. And I admire so much the elders in our church. I do. I just about cry when I start thinking about it. Miss Hazel, how old are you? 92? I'm sorry I told your age. She's 29 and holding plus some. Broke hip. Coming to church now. Miss Winnie, you was in the emergency room, two Sundays ago? Now you're in church today? Others of you, so faithful. So faithful. I think of my great-grandparents when I was a little boy. Ma and Paul Lewis. They would walk down that gravel road. It's blacktop now. It doesn't even look like the same community when I was a boy. They would, in their upper 80s, walk to church. Faithful. Arthritis, everything else, but they came to church because it was important to them. And that was what made America so great for so long, by the way. If you want America back, start loving the things of God again. Okay, young people? Brother Tom, major surgery just a little over a month ago. Major surgery. Here you are in church. Brother Moon, major heart surgery, was in church as soon as he could get in church. I could start naming people. Brother Murphy and Miss Pauline, so faithful. I think of the cemetery committee, all the years of the work and all that that's put into that cemetery. Most of us don't even know what all the work that takes place and the workings of the church. And when they're all gone, what's going to happen? Are we going to have elders step up and say, yes, I love the church. I love the church. I love the things of Christ. He says, having many things to write to you. Verse 12. I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. So let it be. So faithful. Brother Wiley Clark, Miss Martha, so faithful. I read a story about an elderly lady that came into church every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. She had arthritis so bad that it was crippling her. And someone observing her, and by the way, elders, we observe you. We observe you. Someone asked, how do you come to church like that? How are you so faithful? How can you come hurting as bad as you do? She said, well, it's kind of easy. My heart gets there way before I do, and my legs follow. What makes a faithful deacon? What makes a faithful Sunday school teacher? What makes faithful elders? What makes faithful people, young and old? Your heart has to be there. My heart belongs to Jesus. You know where His heart is? Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. Look it up. What makes them faithful is their heart is there. Not in the world. So this is a encouragement. This is a rebuke and a reproof. Be committed. Be faithful. Because our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen? It's not in vain. We're fixing to have an invitation. If you need to respond some way, please come forward. If you maybe need to kneel at the altar, or if you would like to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm here to help you all I can. Won't you come this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you again for the faithfulness of our elders. Those who are so mature, complete in you. They may have ailments, Lord, physically, but spiritually, Lord, they are giants, strong, very strong. God, may we, as a church, be that faithful, that committed. And again, it's for your glory. It's for your glory, Jesus. Amen.